Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
GR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, Francis Beck, and Tom Prince from Western New York Athletics here, Kyrie Demos from the Niagara Gazette, and Roger Weiss, our resident troublemaker, in studio, Derek Kramer producing. Rivalry weekend, football everywhere. It's good to be in Western New York. How you doing, guys?
I overslept. I don't know how I did it, but overslept. I got here. I woke up at 9:30 and got here in 10 minutes.
Wow. That is definitely overslept.
I thought I was bad. I overslept like it's a bad thing.
So Tony, what he's saying is don't sit next to me. He hasn't had a shower yet.
No, actually, I did shower, actually.
I'm moving over as we speak.
No, that includes a shower. So big props to me.
Francis is quick. He's got mad speed. All right, guys, it is rivalry weekend, as I said. And, oh, wow, what a big night for high school football last night. So we're going to get into that. We also have our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week, and we are going to start things off with news and notes. Roger, you've heard me for, last several weeks talking about the concession stand battle in NASA, the Niagara Area Youth Sports Association, which I belong to. The championship or the winner will be announced next week. And if I don't have a vote, by the way, I have no say in this whatsoever. But if I were a betting man, I'd say it's between Wilson and the Buffalo Vets, especially with those ribs. I don't know how.
I was just going to say, which one is it,
Between the chowder at Wilson and the ribs at Manhattan Park,
Anthony,
I don't know how
it's
you pick.
Pronounced chowder.
Chowder. For my Red Sox fans, to Dick Gallagher. That one's for you, buddy.
He just won't listen to me, Kyrie.
I don't know.
He won't listen.
He's got to get it through his
head. I never listen to you, Raj.
I know that.
I know better. I don't want to get in trouble. So that's why I don't. And speaking of NASA, I was having a conversation with Ray Turpin, president of NASA, the other day. And we were talking about our friends at USA Football are going to New York City. I believe that there's going to be a hearing on the 29th, and what is being discussed is banning tackle football for kids 12 and under. And I posted this on our Facebook page. If you want to get in there, some great discussion there. And our friend Mark Adair pointed out, and he used two links, I believe, to point out that in soccer, there are more head injuries than in football. So if we're going to ban tackle football, let's be consistent. We'll also ban soccer, hockey, cheerleading. Let's see, stop riding your bike. Let's ban motorcycles as someone that's been hit by a car while riding.
Skateboards.
Let's just ban everything while we're at it.
Not only that, Anthony, they have absolutely no scientific data on, what do you want to call it,
There's conflicting data.
That kids that only played youth football and didn't play high school football. How many people are out there suing for concussions from youth football? I don't think there's very many. It's senseless to even think this.
Well,
these people don't get these injuries in youth football, as a rule.
I've been coaching. I returned to coaching. It was about 4 years ago at Niagara Falls Junior Football Club. And I can count on one hand the hard hits that I've seen. You know, we play, what, a 10-game schedule. So that's 40 games over the last 4 years. And maybe two that I've seen. And in both instances, the players did not listen to heads up football, which we, you know, the guidelines that we use through USA Football and keeping your head up when you tackle, you put your, and I've mentioned this time and time again, if anybody's been listening to the show, knows that I'm a big proponent of hawk tackling, which is rugby style tackling, head to the side of the body, to the ball side. This way your shoulder and your body are taking the impact, not your head. And when you're playing offensive line or defensive line, you're taught to keep your heads up. So in the two hits that I saw that I could say, yeah, those were, you know, kind of nasty, both times the players led with their head, in which they're taught not to. Why they did that, I have no idea. I know it's going to happen. But the game is so much safer than it was. But here's the thing that bothers me. And we're talking about this, a whole bunch of us, at one of the games throughout with the coaches, is that you hearing it being portrayed by the media as the coaching style of the 70s. You know, when the coach used to withhold water as punishment if you didn't do something correct. Those days are so long gone. But they try to paint the picture that that's how it is today, that in today's football that a coach is going to say, hey, Johnny, you just got your bell rung. Shake it off and get back out there. It's not like that at all. Our referees are certified. They take concussion training just like we do. If there is even a sign that somebody's bell was rung, he's coming out of the game. He's not going back in. He's going to go through concussion protocol. He's going to be sent to his doctor. The doctor's going to send him to a concussion specialist, and then he's got to wait X amount of time before he's even cleared to play again. So the precautions are out there.
You know what I use as an example, a good example, and most people, and I bet you most of our listeners would be familiar with, in the game where Josh Allen got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine 10 years ago, he can't go back into the game, but he can run to the locker room on his own power,
right,
like he did after he, what do you call that, went under the tent, now
mm-hmm.
they call
yeah,
it?
Yep.
He ran back there. He almost sprinted.
Yeah, that's true.
10 years ago, get your rear end back out in the field or don't come back.
Right. Or the old days, rub a little dirt on it, get back in the game. Let's
shake it off. Just shake it off.
It's just a broken leg, Johnny. Don't worry. We can sew it up at halftime. You'll be fine. Get back in there. We need you.
I think the only argument against, you know, the kids playing, you know, before the age of 12 is, you know, with kids, not even kids, with the adults, like the NFL players or college football players that play, you know, from the time that they're kids moving forward. I think that's where it's really like, maybe we don't want kids playing so young because maybe it's not what we see now that it's affecting them, but like maybe down the line, you know, once they are playing in their 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th season down the line. So, I mean, I think that's really the only.
When you watch a game, go check it out. In fact, if you have time today at 5 o'clock, we're playing in your backyard at Outwater Park against Lockport Little Loop.
Mm-hmm.
You won't see the kids generate enough speed or enough power to create these hits, especially when you look at the teams younger than my team. Mm-hmm. I have 10, 11, and 12 years old, and there's two divisions below us. there's no contact. There's no head to head. So you're not looking at repeated.
I've coached 8U and under, and I've seen some nasty.
It's hysterical.
Hits. I've seen nasty hits.
Have you?
Oh, absolutely. I have. And when you see, especially, I do question some of the ages. I really do. Especially because you can see a six-year-old go against an eight-year-old. Six-year-olds are playing tackle football right now.
Yeah.
And an eight-year-old to a six-year-old is a huge difference. And you can see somebody really get knocked. And I've seen it already. And it is something when you've got the different levels of kids here. Kids go through puberty at different stages, which is another reason
why they're choosing at
12 years old there. Because you could see, I've seen 12-year-old kids that are almost 6 foot tall right now.
Right.
And then you see a 12-year-old kid that barely is pushing 5 feet.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see those differences that are out now. I mean, I understand we've got striping rules and certain kids at a certain weight can only play line versus going to play any other skilled positions. I get all that. But there's still a time where it could come into play. And if they're not taught the right way about tackling
then it's
skills
dangerous.
And things
like
that, that's when it comes into play. It's not necessarily what you taught. You can't help that one time when that one kid's going to come in with his head at one of your kids and makes head-to-head contact,
and
your kid did everything right.
We could pick up things in every single sport that's going to that there's a danger moment. You know, it's
No doubt. And what Mark Adair said about soccer is dead on. When you're heading the ball with a soccer, that's where a lot of these concussions come into play. And no doubt that soccer's got just as much as football is, and it's documented like that.
With less protection.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
I've played soccer. Believe me, you can get a little dizzy if you hit the ball in the right spot or the wrong spot of your head.
It's all coming together.
All right, we may have to do another show on this one in the future, but I just wanted to get you up to date as to what is going on, and kudos to USA Football for standing up for the kids throughout this. And I don't know if it's just going to be for New York City or the whole state, but at least there is an opportunity for the public voice to be heard. And as I said, I posted that on our Facebook page. If you want to check that out, go right ahead. All right, time for our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. If you would like to nominate a coach, simply go to livefit.com. That's livefit.com. Congratulations to North Tonawanda soccer coach Hannah Grouch for winning their first league title in 34 years. They beat Grand Island, which is a power in girls soccer, and North Tonawanda was able to pull off the victory there. So kudos to them.
I think 85-game league streak by the Vikings.
Yep, I got
That's
to
amazing.
Cover that game. It was unbelievable. Like, to see a program that, it had been since 2015, I think, that they hadn't lost an NFL league game. So,
Kudos to Niagara Wheatfield Golf. What is it, six straight years?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they suffered their first loss this year, and I think it was their only one in the last 6 years. They just keep rolling. Man, those kids can golf. Take me out there. Teach me, guys.
Anthony, is it okay? Am I allowed to give an honorable mention to my buddy Rich Kozak?
Yes, you can.
Rich Kozak, soccer coach at Frontier. In a big game against Hamburg this week, they beat Hamburg 3-1. Hamburg is a top five big school soccer program. Huge win for my friend and good buddy Rich Kozak.
Rich, in fact, Roger is so proud of you. He's going to take you out to dinner.
Yep.
He told us before. Anywhere you want it, you pick it. He'll take you.
You mean it wouldn't be at Ilio's, of course.
Well, that's up to you and Rich to figure that one out. All right, let's go to the scores from last night. You can follow along in the Niagara Gazette or in the Buffalo News. Let's see. We'll start off with the big boys. Bennett shutting out Niagara Falls 22-0. Jamestown beating Orchard Park 16-12. Williamsville North over Williamsville East 42-6. McKinley blanking Niagara Wheatfield 24-0. It was Grand Island 37, Amherst 20. South Park all over Will South 28-7. Olean beat Lackawanna 17-7. Akron 46-0 over Roy Hart. Let's see, we've got Southwestern beat Faulkner, Cass Valley 41-8. Gowanda had to forfeit, so Portville gets the win. Franklinville, Elkville 49, Salamanca 6, Tonawanda ends the streak as they beat North Tonawanda 23-0. I believe it's only the second time in the history of that rivalry that Tonawanda has blanked North Tonawanda.
70-some years since the last time, Anthony.
Absolutely amazing. Sweet Home over Lakeshore, 34-16. Albion, 23. Medina Lindenville Barker, 6. Iroquois blanking East Aurora Holland, 29-0. Frontier over Hamburg, 30-22. Penfield, 34. Louport, 7. I don't get why Penfield's playing so many Section 6 schools.
They're an independent.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cheektowaga beating Merivale, 29-14. It was Pioneer, 58-0 over Springville. Oh, Harry Skull has got to be sick to his stomach right now. West Seneca West, 27. West Seneca East, 6. Wilson over Newfane. I believe that one was in overtime, 16-13. Lancaster over Depew, 42-3. Fredonia beating Dunkirk, 45-16. Silver Creek over Cat Little Valley, 32-0. There are your scores from last night. Well, the playoff picture is certainly a little bit clearer, at least in Double A. Kind of know where the seedings are, who's lining up where. So let's have at it, guys.
All right, do you want me to start with this? I have the seedings, and this is only if Clarence wins over Hutchtech today. This is the final piece we need. But Jamestown gets the first seed. They beat Orchard Park last night. OP gets the 2 seed. So that would leave Clarence, Lancaster, Bennett all tied for the 3 seed. Bennett would win that tiebreaker with the 3 seed. Clarence, we get the 4 seed. Lancaster, the 5. Niagara Falls lost last night. They get the 6. And Hushchek gets the 7th. Frontier is 8th.
So Niagara Falls, we have a rematch next week of what happened last night. Niagara Falls at Bennett, correct?
Yeah, assuming Clarence wins today.
Assuming Clarence wins, right.
So just so everybody understands it, so what you've done here is you've had a 3-way tiebreaker, right, with Bennett, Lancaster, Clarence. Bennett wins the 3-way.
They win
yes,
by points.
Because
I know, hold on. I got it. So once the 3-way tie is broken, then you go back to the beginning, and it's a head-to-head now with Clarence beating Lancaster, which is where the 4-5 comes in.
That is correct.
Right? Just wanted to explain, just so everybody knew where you were coming with the tiebreakers there. So you're talking about an incredible Lancaster team that's going to have to play on the road the whole time in the playoffs.
That's crazy.
And, I mean, you know, and Lancaster is, they're legit. But I'll tell you, Lancaster's probably saying is if they want one game, we know 2 games back, right? But if they want one game to start back, Clarence would be the first game that's back. But that bodes well for that either one of those matchups, potentially for the next round, which could be a Lancaster-Clarence versus Jamestown. Now you're going to Jamestown, and we all know how tough that is.
Oh, yeah.
And then that 2-3 matchup, which potentially looks like it would be, you know, Orchard Park-Bennett moving forward. Those are some great semifinal games. Yeah.
Get your popcorn, folks. Get your popcorn, because it's going to get interesting.
And I'll tell you, being at that Jamestown-Orchard Park game last night, I got a chance to see a lot. These two defenses played unbelievable. We already knew Orchard Park's defense was legit. We knew that just the way they played. I mean, the defense was the reason they win over Lancaster, right, with the defensive points that came into play there. And I'm going to tell you, this defense playing the way they are without Michael Pataki right now.
I was just going to ask, is he still out?
Yes, he did not play last night.
Wow.
And you still hold Jamestown to 16 points. I mean, this is an all-Western New York linebacker that, you know, you are not right now having him on the field. And remember, I also want you to remember something. He goes out as a slot receiver to boot, which is where this whole concussion came into play. Yeah. He's a receiver that could really benefit, you know, that offense right now. But I'm going to tell you, do not take away anything from this Jamestown defense right now, because the Jamestown defense twice with Orchard Park in the red zone holds them on fourth down twice in the red zone to stop them. Flip it, Orchard Park does the same exact thing on the half-yard line. Jamestown goes for it. Orchard Park, huge stop. I'm talking about 3 times within the 2-yard line. They stop them from scoring. They're trying to go up the middle, and the middle for Orchard Park just held their ground and stopped them from scoring. But because they were on the half-yard line, one of the scores for Jamestown ends up being a safety when they flip it and they stop them on the fourth down. I'll tell you, one of the big differences is in this game was Orchard Park not having their kicker is actually could have caused the loss, one of the reasons for the loss in this game.
I was wondering about that, looking at the back score.
So here you're talking about right now, the number one kicker in New York State for extra points right now is what he has. So you're talking about a guy very reliable for there. So
is he hurt or was he?
He was not in his uniform. He was just wearing his top. So he obviously there was some sort of injury.
Wow!
But you're talking about
best defensive player and their place kicker.
You know, you're talking about two extra points that he kicks.
The same guy,
right? Two extra points he kicks. And if they just go for one of those inside the red zone that are down there.
Or how about a field goal on a half-yard line?
I just said. That was Jamestown who went for that one on the half-yard line.
Excuse me.
The other two that were in the red zone were Orchard Park. They kick one of those with the two extra points, you win the game. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's the sole reason. And I don't want to take anything away from Jamestown because they played unbelievable. The two interceptions in the fourth quarter by Jamestown were absolutely lights out. I mean, like ESPN type,
DB cut in front of the receiver to make the pick.
One of them was an actual tip ball, and he actually leaps over the receiver to make the interception because it, once it's tipped, it's
live,
open season, right?
Is allowed.
He literally leaps over the receiver, the right shoulder of the receiver, to make the interception. It was unbelievable. Wow. And then the next one was jumping the route, but laying out to get the ball for the interception. Two phenomenal interceptions that were there to actually, to cause that game. So both teams legit.
Wow. All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, delve into some more of last night's action. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported in 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri. Francis Beck and Tom Prince from Western New York Athletics. Kyrie Demos from the Niagara Gazette. And Roger Weiss in studio. Derek Kramer producing. We're talking about last night's matchups as the playoffs are getting clearer, Francis.
Yeah, let's go over Class A. A1 was all set when McKinley beat one last night. They get the number one seed. The number two seed is Kenmore West. Number three is West Seneca West. And four is Williamsville North. On to Tate A2, where things get a little tricky, but we do have an answer of the final seedings. South Park clinched a couple of weeks ago the number one seed. Again, Star Point last week got the second seed. And then three and four, things were going to get messy. And I have found out, I read the email Ken Stolt, the chairman of Section 6, sent out. Basically, because West Seneca East and Grand Island didn't play each other, you have a four-way tie with those two teams for the three seed. And the common opponents were Amherst and Star Point. And I want to get into all the math and everything. But basically, Grand Island needed to win by 17 points, and they won by...
Not enough.
No.
17 points.
Exactly. Oh, 17
points. Exactly 17. Right on the nose.
So they got the third seed, and then
it's 37-20. You're right.
And then Sweet Home gets the four seed.
Big shout out to Ben Muscala, quarterback there.
Oh, he was amazing.
Yeah, he had four touchdowns last night. I think he had two last week against Star Point. Yeah, because they lost 28-17. But he's been really picking it up the last few weeks for them.
Yeah, Amherst had trouble stopping him. And he's tiny. He's like 5'10", 165.
He's quick as
lightning. He just find a tiny hole in the middle of the offensive line, and he would get like 20 yards.
Yeah. For sure, yeah.
You know, I'd like to give special credit to, when you listen to that right there, Coach John Haynes over at Ken West. What he's done now in two seasons back-to-back, look at what he just did with baseball, right, over last year. Takes them to their first ever sectional championship. Now is leading them on the football field at the same time. A lot of credit what he's doing over at Ken West, because sure, he's really built up something, and it doesn't matter what the sport is, he's having an impact over there.
Tom, you're going to crush Francis. You know, he's got some hope.
He's doing a great job.
We don't want him to be too deflated.
Those mighty Bulldogs over there, you know.
Yeah, don't worry about it. He's not even awake yet.
Meanwhile, Frank's at home going, Francis, I'm waiting for you. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. Let's continue.
No, you're not.
All right, Class B, we know the top four. Maritime has the one seed. Newfane has the two.
Yeah, they beat Burgard Thursday. I can't get a woof for that. No, I'm sorry.
Newfane has the two.
By the way, hey, fans, stop picking on Coach Cobb. The guy's doing a great job. Until you understand what he's going through, I'm sick of seeing comments on social media going after him. Go ahead. I regress.
All right, Newfane has the two. Albion has a three. I know Albion beat Newfane earlier in the year, but because of how the tie, because they all didn't play each other, that game is kind of moot. So Albion's the three. Cheektowaga is the four. We have all four teams in the bottom four. We're not quite sure the order yet. We know Pioneer's going to be the five, as they have the highest point differential. All teams in the bottom four went 3-1. Tonawanda and Olean both have 27 point differential, so that's going to take the next tiebreaker, which I haven't quite figured out. I think it's going to be least points allowed, which I believe gives the advantage to Tonawanda, but don't quote me there. And then Iroquois has a point differential plus 13. They will probably be the last seed.
Do you mind if I talk a little bit about Tonawanda? Okay, so, all right, let's play the guessing game here, guys. So, when was the last time?
I didn't study. No fair.
It's okay. It's a pop quiz. You got to be prepared. Stay on your toes. When's the last time Tonawanda won the TNT game by 23 points or more?
Was it 70-something years?
100 years, right on the nose. 1919. Obviously huge historic win for them last night over North Tonawanda.
Cool seeing the fans storm the field and going crazy.
Yeah, like always a cool moment.
But just think about it. The last time Tonawanda beat North Tonawanda, the kids on the Tonawanda team weren't even born yet.
Literally. Like, I was 18 years? Five, maybe.
If there's an 18-year-old, you might have had somebody that had been a month old when that happened.
Yeah, I think it was like a week or two before the show started.
Yeah.
To show you how long ago it's been.
That's crazy.
And the biggest shutout ever, what, 77 years since they shut out North
Tonawanda?
I believe so. Two in the 100 years.
I wasn't even born then yet, Anthony, if you can believe that. No, I know you don't believe it.
I believe it. But yeah, 7 turnovers by the Tonawanda defense. Great performance there. And Jason Fraser just continues to be the engine of that team. 185 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, too.
Kudos to that coaching staff. They've done such a good job. Don't forget, it was only a few years ago Tonawanda was really struggling with numbers.
Yeah, and that was something Coach Kelly brought up. He said, you know, it's funny. Some coaches, he said, I don't like to hold grudges, but remember a couple years ago they kept scoring on us. You know, it was a 41-61.
Did NT put up on them?
I think that was the year before he took over.
Oh, okay.
But his first year, it was a 41-6 loss. And he said, you know, we were struggling on numbers. So he said, tonight, that's why I ran the ball out. Ran the clock out because I didn't want to be that guy. So, you know, hats off to Coach Kelly.
That's class act, yep.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot.
You know, Francis, listen to some of those matchups you just threw out there. 4-5. Did you hear the 4-5?
Chicago Pioneer.
First round.
That's a sectional title game.
Listen to this. That's at the stadium.
What? I want to know who wants Iroquois as a last seed to be able to play as your number one.
I have no idea.
That's another
they'd
one you've got
to
play, jump out
have to play Maritime. You figure they're going to be the 8th seed?
Who?
Iroquois?
Yeah, Iroquois should probably be the 8th seed.
That'd be the nastiest 1-8 seed I've heard, you know what I mean, that you hear of in the playoffs that are out there.
They are playing so well, and especially, well, I don't know, the weather, I don't think it would, both teams, neither one of them are getting very far in the past, so that would be an old-fashioned hell of a football game, rain or shine.
This Roger, you like, you know, long bus rides. Ole Anne's going to either travel to Newfane or Albion for their first round game.
They better hope for Newfane.
I think the Newfane, I looked it up, was like 2 hours, 6 minutes, you know, at midnight. I mean, granted, it's a Saturday game, so that should help, but
yeah,
that's
but either
a haul.
Way, Saturday, Friday, if you lose, boy, that's a long bus ride home. It's probably seemed like a 2-day bus trip home.
But if I'm Newfane or Albion, I'm going. I got a good seed, and I got to bring Olean in here, though. I mean, that's yikes. You're talking about. Think about 5 through 8. That may be the toughest 5 through 8 that you've heard as far as lower seeds. In years.
Easily.
I mean, that is a nasty bottom four there.
We got a Tonawanda team who could potentially be a 6.
They don't have to go far. They'll either go to Albion or Newfane, so they get the short trip.
We got a Tonawanda team with, what, they'll probably be the 6 seed? They got a 1,000-yard running back. Like, this is, I mean, you just don't see that.
Like I said, you could be talking where those bottom four teams – could potentially all win their game.
Yeah,
you
know upsets. What
I
mean?
Like,
you can't even call them upsets because it's so close.
Right, but you're still saying it's a 1-8 game, right? Or a 3-6 game. I mean, think about that. If I would have told you Pioneer, Olean, Tonawanda, Iroquois were your 5 through 8s going into the season.
It's absurd.
Like, no way.
It's absurd.
That's gonna be fun to watch. That's gonna be where you're gonna talk about you could throw a coin up in the air, and whatever it lands, you're going to win because you're going to be at a great game at any one of those.
But ladies and gentlemen, now you know why we love high school football.
And now we go. Let's go back to the Iroquois game. We still don't know if Maritime's got a field yet.
We think they do. Right. Where is that game going to be played?
We've already got verification. It looks like
it's going to be. Yeah, it looks like Johnny B. Wiley might be a spot they're looking at.
So if they do, great. If they don't, what could be the last minute thing? Does Iroquois end up getting a home game if they can't work it out?
Imagine that.
If they do, can they get some better restrooms? Can they improve that facility? I know they have a board meeting on Wednesday that they're going to argue that one out. So
I wonder if Hamburg Field would be available that night.
That's a nice field.
That's a good
question. But it just goes down as, I mean, unbelievable matchups there. Right. I mean, that we're talking about. You know, and we haven't even gone down even some of the other divisions. There's going to be great matchups the first week. I mean, first week we only focus on the 4-5 seeds because that's usually the best games, maybe a 3-6 seed in there,
sure. Yeah.
Right? But we're talking about possibly a great 1-8 seed game.
The whole trip to the stadium is going to be amazing. The whole process as they eliminate each other all the way. Who's going to survive?
It's like a survival pool.
You know what game I'm also interested in next week? It looks like West Seneca West at Star Point.
There's Will North
revenge
South Park
from last year?
Yes.
If I'm South Park, that's a nasty first-round game I've got to play. I mean, Will North still is a team that's got a great coaching staff that's going to have that team prepared.
Yep, that's very
true. Okay, there's no doubt about it.
Very true.
And you never know what's going to happen when you get time to be able to put together a game plan for a team there.
And talking about the Star Point game, you know, not only the revenge factor, but Carson Marcus is still injured. You know, so the quarterback for Star Point.
Oh, okay. I thought you were thinking of Carlson.
Oh, no. He's still there. Oh, he's definitely still there. I mean, he'll be playing quarterback in absence if Marcus can't go still. So, I mean, that's just an intriguing.
But if you get him back,
right.
You're talking about now you got two dynamic receivers that you're going out there to be able to have. And that offense opens back up, which is going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, because that's had impact.
When he's healthy, how mobile is he?
When healthy, I'm not saying he's a scrambler by any means, but he can move. I mean, he's a good athlete, but I mean, he's such a viable downfield passer that.
And
I
assume there was a lower body injury because I think I saw him on crutches. How mobile will he be?
Good point. I talked with him. He said, not a direct quote, but he said, you know, I'm really not looking to scramble. I mean, if I've got Joe outside, I'll be able to get the ball to him. As long as I'm able to play, that's all I'm worried about.
So. They're more interested in the arm than they are the legs.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I'll tell you, what Carlson's done at that spot, I mean, he's thrown the team on his back. I mean, when we watched him play that South Park game, I got a chance to sit and watch them.
Yeah.
He fought for every single yard there was.
Right.
It was all heart. It was all determination. He did everything he could to possibly help that team do something against South Park.
Maybe they need to retire his number after the season because he's meant that much.
He actually wore two numbers this season because their black jerseys, they got they didn't bring a number four in, so he had to wear number one that night.
I had to do that my junior year. It's no fun when you have two different numbers.
But yeah, Carlson last week, I think we talked about this, but just again to give him a little credit, this kid led the team in passing, rushing, receiving, was their punter, hit four extra points, had the game-clinching INT. Like, this kid just does
cleaned
it all.
Cleaned up the stands after. Right.
Sold popcorn at halftime.
Wrote the post-game report.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he's
stocked
doing
the concession stand. He does it all.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some more of the matchups. We're way behind on this one, guys. I apologize. Well, Sports Talk Saturday follows us. And don't forget, tonight at 10:30, Sabres continue their West Coast swing as they take on the Sharks. We'll be back with more Inside High School Sports.
Got something to say? Say it anytime. Call, tweet, or text when you want, or hit us up with your comments on Facebook or WGR550.com. Say what you want when you want with WGR Sports Radio 550.
We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports, and then Sports Talk Saturday takes after. Whole lot to talk about. Buffalo Bills and Sabres are in fuego. I love it. When's the last time we've seen the Bills and the Sabres this hot?
November.
What year?
No, this past November.
November.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, man. Let's just not count our... What does it count? Our
blessings
before they hatch? Yeah, let's just...
Well, it's funny because the president of Niagara Falls Junior Football Club and the president of NASA, they're both Dolphins fans. I told them both this week, you might want to turn your phone off on Sunday because I'm going to be sitting on the couch texting your butts for four quarters. How you like me now?
That's 30-10 right there.
That was the first quarter.
I was just going to say that could be worse than that. I mean, this Dolphins team is just not a very good team right now.
I guess they're like bottom third, like ranked 30th or less in every offensive statistical category. How bad do you have to be?
Somebody said they should be demoted to the XFL.
I'm pretty close to it.
This is when those debates start. Can an Alabama team beat a Miami Dolphin team? That's when all these debates start, when you see a team struggling as bad as Miami.
Can the Niagara Falls Junior Football Cobra beat the Miami Dolphins? Yes, by 12.
Close matchup there.
Q Mason and Nate Mullaney score 4 touchdowns apiece. All right, let's get back to where we are, Francis, and figure out the playoffs.
All right, let's go to Class C North. Wilson, this was all set up last week. Wilson has the 1 seed. JFK has the 2 seed. The 3 seed's Akron. The 4 seed is Silver Creek. Class C South, Southwestern already clinched the top seed, and so did Portville, got the 2 seed. The 3 and 4 we were still figuring out last night. Chautauqua Lake did beat Allegheny Limestone in kind of an upset. They beat them by 12 points, creating a 3-way tie with those two teams in Fredonia for the 3 and 4 seeds. Chautauqua Lake wins the tiebreaker because they had a best point differential of 7 among those 3 games, so they get the 3 seed. You revert back to head-to-head. Allegheny Limestone beat Fredonia. They get the 4 seed. Fredonia's out of the playoffs.
Wow.
It's amazing. And Fredonia, I thought that was a huge win last night versus rivalry Dunkirk, and convincing win. To be honest with you, that was one of the scores that came in that really surprised me.
Well, that's one of those things where when you have the big rivalry, sometimes you throw the records out the window, and there's a lot of emotion being laid out on the field. And I think that might be what you saw.
Yeah, no doubt.
Class D is a little bit simpler. CSP and Randolph are squaring off at 1:30. Winner gets the 2 seed. Loser gets the 3 seed. The first seed is Franklinville, Ellicottville, and the 4 seed is Salamanca. Because of the lack of teams, next week, Cattaraugus, Little Valley will go to Salamanca for a playoff game. I think they're going to have pretty much a playing game between the 4 and the 5. And then Franklinville, Ellicottville will host the C South 7th seed Gowanda if they can play.
I was just going to say that might be a forfeit, though.
I feel bad for Gowanda.
Because they didn't have because the 1 seed drew a bye, they were looking for a game for Franklinville, Ellicottville to play, and it looks like that won't come to fruition.
Could we be looking at more mergers next year, like involving Gowanda, where they have to... or will their numbers be okay in the future? That's a question for the offseason, I guess.
What are we talking? Go on to Pine Valley, maybe with Eden, North Collins? Geographically, that'd be the closest one for Gowanda.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of figuring out to go on, I would imagine. But, do something so that these kids can play some ball.
Then the whoever is the 2 seed will play Roy Hart next week, and the 3 seed will play the 5 seed, which is Cleve Hill.
You imagine the teams that get to the stadium this year, they are going to be so battle tested, and I would think that bodes well when you go on to face Section 5.
Yeah,
Anthony, how about this? Week 1, we got another rivalry game. Cleve Hill and Maryvale played each other. If we were in their field and says, you know what, neither one of these teams are going to make the playoffs, we'd have probably... They would have sent for the people with the white jackets. Exactly.
Right.
Cleveland Hill and Maryvale out of the playoffs.
The playoffs, I think this year, probably more than any year, is going to be it's going to be a blast.
And you could have...
Because like you were saying, you could have lower seed teams knocking off top seed teams, and that makes for great talk.
And we could have a number of teams reaching the stadium for the first time ever. I mean, I think...
That's cool, too.
I don't think Wilson's ever been there. I don't think Newfane's ever been there. Right. Maritime obviously hasn't been there before. I mean, this could be some special stuff.
Sure.
No doubt. I can't wait to see how some of this is going to play out. I think first round, certain classes, we see it all the way through. But those second round games, there's going to be some great ones. It literally will be a fight to see what games are going to get covered. And probably a scramble after Spectrum decides whatever their one game they're going to cover is, how all these other games are going to get covered, because there's going to be so many great matchups.
Oh, yeah.
Any scuttlebutt as to the Spectrum game this Friday? Will it not be Clarence and Lancaster?
I mean, that's one, but we already talked about, what about Cheektowaga Pioneer? We can go up and down. There's great matchups all over the place.
Seriously, Star Point West, Seneca West. I mean, that's a revenge game from last year. There's a lot of different matchups.
There's a lot of positive ones that are out there that any of these could come to fruition. But, you know, I definitely know that us at Western New York Athletics will make sure what isn't covered will get covered so that we can make sure that these kids get that recognition that they deserve.
No, there's there's going to be a lot of coverage, and we have so many outlets out right now in, you know, that are covering it, probably more so than we've ever had in Western New York, and that's a good thing. That if you want information on high school sports, it's readily available, let's put it that way. So it's just a matter of where you want to get it from, when you're able to get it from, and that's a good thing that it is out there. The teams are being covered, the players are being covered, and it's great. And it's a lot of fun for us to sit here and go back and forth as to who we think is going to go where, who's going to play at the stadium, who has a shot at a state title, which is so exciting.
Yeah, if you make it out of Section 6, I mean, you really have a shot.
You're battle tested, and you really are going to be. And how strong is Section 5 this year? So that's going to be another question that's going to have to get answered down the road. They're usually very tough.
Yeah. You know, and especially at the upper classes, they're even tougher. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not to say that, you know, one class is better than another class, but our upper classes are going to have their hands full with, you know, with Rochester.
Yeah. Whereas in the past, our season,
the Aquinas's, yes. Yeah,
those, whereas those in the programs, past, our season D's have been very strong compared to rest of the state, especially in D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we may see that this year. You're looking at teams like Southwestern. You're looking at Franklinville, Ellicottville, guys like that.
CSP could easily be there.
Exactly.
You know, well, you don't want to count out Wilson with the year that they're having. Anything is possible in a game.
Seriously.
I mean, there's a lot of things that you you want to make sure that you're ready to be prepared to see as you go on to that next level.
For sure. Yeah, I just want to give a shout-out to Wilson beating Newfane last night in the Champions versus Champions battle. They've been doing it all season, really just piecing wins together. So, you know, hopefully they can keep it going in the playoffs.
They have a nice squad there.
Yeah.
Great coaching staff. I've said it the last several weeks. You know, watching them, they're so technically sound. They're not the biggest kids on the field.
Mm-mm.
By no means. There's no real heavyweights out there. They're going to go around pushing. They just do it with fundamentals.
And they have an advantage. They have a unique home field advantage.
They do.
Could go up to Wilson there. Like, in other words, first of all, a phenomenal field. Please.
Beautiful.
I mean, unbelievable.
Gorgeous scenery.
And then
scoreboard.
You've got to travel to them. They've earned the right for a home field advantage, and traveling for the other team is a home field advantage.
Yeah. And that's going to be, some places, you know, some schools having that home field advantage is going to be huge. You know, benefit for them. For some, it's not so big. You know, the away team may even have the advantage. Who knows? Depends on who it is, where they are. But thanks for listening. We will be back next week with more Inside High School Sports as we continue to try to figure all this fun out. Sports Talk Saturday is next. See ya.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!